dwelt amongst us. Jesus, the Son of God, coming in the form of a baby in a manger. And our text says this morning, and being found in fashion as a man. And my question is, what was it like for Jesus to wake up in a manger? What was it like? In a past eternity, God, the Son lived with the Father in the splendor of glory. All things were His. He could do anything. He was all in all. He was living in the fullness of time and with God. And He had all things at His disposal. He had a glorious relationship with the Father, as wonderful as any relationship could ever be. He was one with the Father in power, in majesty, in holiness, in love, in honor, in splendor, in joy, and in peace. He had it all. By the word of His power, Hebrews tells us, He created all things. He was the creator of all things. And in John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus says this. Jesus talks about the glory which He had with the Father before the world was. Again, I ask the question, what was it like for the Son of God to be born in a manger? For Him to wake up in a barn full of animals with two teenage kids as His onlookers. The Word that created all things was reduced to the space of an animal feeding trough. Imagine becoming a baby again and giving up your language, your muscle coordination, your ability to eat solid food, and even your ability to control your own bladder. Such was what the Lord Jesus experienced when He came to this earth. I had a Sunday school teacher, a friend named Matt Kelton. Matt was a wonderful, wonderful teacher and friend down through the years. And he had diabetes. And he went into the hospital and he was told that In order to live, he would have to have his leg amputated. And so his son, who's an airline pilot, works for United Airlines, flew him all over. They did everything they could to avoid this. Flew him to Mayo Clinic. But the word was he had to have his leg cut off in order to live. And he knew that. I was at the hospital, at Providence Hospital, just after he came out of that operation. And what a time that was. He looked down at his pant leg that used to contain a leg to walk and to move and to function in life, and it wasn't there. Not that he didn't know about it, not that God didn't in eternity. God had talked to the Father and they had planned this and He had voluntarily said, "Here am I, send me." And He knew what it would be like and He had talked about it and experienced and there was no surprise. But just to wake up on Christmas morning in an animal feed trough, my, what it must have been like. And my friend Matt had no choice, but Jesus did. And He did it for you and for me. 10 years later, Matt had his other leg amputated. And for 6 or 7 years, he lay in a hospital bed with no legs. But Jesus knew what was coming. And he voluntarily said to the Father, when the Father asked, "Who will go for us?" Jesus said, "Here am I. Send me." And at Bethlehem, the reality came in. And he woke up in an animal feeding trough. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." You know, I read that verse for so many times, and I guess I misread it. It's not that we're blessed by the riches of God, and we are. God has bestowed his riches on us, and he gives and he gives and he gives again out of his riches. But when Jesus came to Calvary and when Jesus came to the manger, he came as a poor man that had nothing to offer but himself. He emptied himself and he gave himself, and he was born in a manger. 2nd question in this verse, what was it like in this passage? What was it like for God when Jesus became a man? Nearly every time that God visits the earth, and when angels came to the earth, whether it's in the Old Testament, and certainly we have a New Testament passage, we hear the angels announce, "Fear not, don't be afraid." And all through the Old Testament, people were deadly afraid when the presence of God came and when an announcement that the angels of God had appeared. You remember in the Old Testament, some thought that if they saw God and saw an angel, that they would be killed. Samson's parents thought that. Fear not. God in the Old Testament instilled fear in people. When the angel came to Mary, he said, "Fear not." And to Joseph, "Fear not." But at last, God was able to come to man without saying, "Fear not." He came as a babe in a manger. And what could be less scary than a baby in a manger? In Jesus, God can finally talk to man without saying, "Fear not." The hymn that we sung this morning in our first meeting was this: "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory." And in verse 9 through 11 of our text, it says this: "God has highly exalted him," Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow." What did it mean to the Father to have Jesus' Son come to earth? And the third question we would like to ask is, what was it like for us when Jesus became a man? John 1 and 11 tells us, "He came unto his own, but his own did not receive him." For the most part, Jesus was unrecognized, except for the announcement which the angels came and the wise men. And we read next to nothing of his life until his public ministry began at the age of 30. Very little. Oh, yes, people came to him for free food, and they came to him for free medicine to be healed. But for the most part, they rejected his words and crucified him on a Roman cross. Isaiah says this, but for the he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. While I was thinking about this, I had a verse of a song that was in my mind, and it's a Negro spiritual. And I went online, I couldn't find out. It was just a verse, a line from a hymn. I looked all over and couldn't find it. So I called our sister, Al Webb, and I said to Al, have you ever heard of this Negro spiritual? Ever heard of this song? I said, the only thing that I can remember, the only line is this: we didn't know who you was. She called back. She said, let me call you back. She called her mother. And her mother was a gospel singer of spiritual songs. And it wasn't a few minutes till she called me back with the words to this. And I want to read it to you. It's a wonderful, wonderful Negro spiritual, a time when people of color were subjected to torture and to slavery and to beatings. And some of the most beautiful hymns and choruses came out of that era. If there was anything good that came out of slavery and enslavement and the beating of slaves, it was the wonderful music that they wrote during that period of time. And here's the song. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, lad, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind. We couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. Long time ago you was born. Born in a manger, low, sweet little Jesus boy. The world treat you mean, Lord. Treat me mean too. But that's how things are down here. We don't know who you is. You've done told us how. We is a trying master. You've done showed us how, even when you dying. Just seems like we can't do right. Look at how they treated you. Please, sir, forgive us, Lot. We didn't know who you was. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet little holy child. And we didn't know who you was. The King of Kings coming to earth. And his own people, and the people that should reject us, and the people of the world today still do. They pass by and they neglect, and they don't know who Jesus is. I was sent another email quite some time ago. It was a busy morning, about 8:30 in the morning, when an elderly gentleman in his 80s arrived to have stitches removed from his thumb. He said he was in a hurry and had an appointment at 9 a.m. I took his vital signs and had him take a seat, knowing it would be over an hour before someone would be able to see him. I saw him looking at his watch and decided, since I was not too busy with another patient, I would evaluate his wound. On examination, it was well healed, so I talked to one of the doctors and got the needed supplies to remove his stitches and redress his wound. While taking care of his wound, I asked him if he had another doctor's appointment this morning because he appeared to be in such a hurry. The gentleman told me that he needed to go to the nursing home to eat breakfast with his wife. I inquired as to her health. He told me that she had been there for a while and that she was a victim of Alzheimer's disease. As we talked, I asked if she would be upset if he would be a bit late. He replied, she no longer knew who he was, that she had not recognized him for 5 years now. I was surprised. I asked him, and you still go every morning, though she doesn't know who you are? He smiled, and he patted my hand, and he said, she doesn't know who I am, but I still know who she is. John the Apostle, in his letter to 1 John, says this: herein is love, not that we knew who Jesus was, but he still knew who we were and gave his life to be a propitiation for our sins. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank you that when we didn't know you, when we had no time for you, when we didn't care anything about you, that you still cared for us and you still knew who we were and you still saw our hopeless and helpless condition. And you decided to move in to where we were, to become a babe in a manger, and to die on a cross so that he might make us fit for God. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for the love of the Father who pursued us and who asked the question in heaven, who will go for me? And Jesus responds, here am I, send me. And oh, such a stoop and such humility. And Jesus further humbled himself, as we read in Philippians, to be obedient to the cross, even death on a cross. And we give thanks for that this morning. We rejoice in the great salvation that this baby brought to us because he was willing to come to Bethlehem as a babe and to die as payment for our sins. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.